everyone. This is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Happy Independence Day or 4th of July day. And for those of you who are in the United States, and I hope you had a great day. We went over to a neighbor farm who usually hosts a great deal of fireworks and great food, and went over there and had a good time and appreciated the day. We watched Patriot as a family this afternoon and enjoyed that as well, and demonstrating the work and the sacrifice that went into our freedom. So today actually is going to be a special 4th of July episode of the Legacy Podcast. What we're going to talk about is 12 things that you can do this year to advance your own personal liberties. And hopefully it should be a good show for you. Before we do that, I want to take care of a little bit of business. First of all, make sure that you're registered as a user for the Legacy Podcast website. That enables you to get all the updates anytime, and we do them and quickly. It enables you to get that through email. So anytime we put a blog post or a show or anything like that, it comes directly to you, and great way to stay up to date on what is going on. It also gives you the advantage of being able to comment to each of the podcasts or the comment section, and I would appreciate you giving your comments, and you have to be a user, of course, to do that, so I'd appreciate you doing both of those. The best way, though, to reach me and give me comments is at my email, which is steve@thelegacypodcast.com. Again, that's steve@thelegacypodcast.com. Be sure that you're following us on all the various social media, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, those kinds of things. Share us with your friends and family. Let other people know about us so that we continue to grow the website and continue to grow the work of the Legacy Podcast and get our reach out there further and further. Appreciate those of you who are already doing that. And also, if you like the show and you want to support the show in a way, I would ask that you become or consider becoming a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is $30 a year or $3 a month. It gives you exclusive access to our Legacy Partner page, which has about $50 worth of value with more to come soon. It also enables you to support the show at less than 20 cents an episode, or actually less than 25 cents an episode, more like 20 cents an episode. And so if you think this is worth 25 cents or less, then I would encourage you to become a part of the Legacy Partner program. Help support us and keep me working and doing the thing that I love, which is sharing with the audience how to build a legacy and building legacy details and that kind of thing. So appreciate that. All right, so that takes care of the introductory segment. Let's go ahead and talk about 12 things that you can do today to advance your personal liberty. And what these are, obviously, this is in recognition of Independence Day. And, you know, there were people who sacrificed their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor in order to establish liberty in this country. And they did that on a national scale, although it was a personal sacrifice. They did it on a national scale. And I think that today, although we are not in a revolutionary war as they were back in the days of our independence, we certainly are in a war for ideals. We are in a war for preserving our liberties against those who would want to usurp them from the government levels and other means. And so it's important that we look at ways in which we as individuals can take steps towards liberty. And every one of us who's listening can do that. And so what I want you to do is listen to each of these, and if you're doing them, great. If not, then start doing them, or pick one or two things that you want to focus on this year and get those done or get them started. And of course, I have 12 of them because it's 2012. And so these are the 12 items, 12 events, 12 things that you can do personally to advance liberty this year. First of all, start learning from Campaign for Liberty education site and learn about freedom, learn about, you know, what are the aspects of it. You know, that is a phenomenal resource, the Campaign for Liberty resource. It's in part what introduced me to a lot of the concepts that I have regarding liberty. And, you know, there's nothing, people can take away our homes, people can take away our rights, people can take, a lot of things away from us, but one thing that they can't take away from us is education. One thing they can't take away from us is the knowledge that we have in our head about truth and about freedom. And Campaign for Liberty enables us to learn these concepts, learn the concepts of freedom, so that we can pass that on to generation after generation, and so that we can live it out in this generation. If you go to campaignforliberty.com, there is an education tab on there. And under the education tab, you can learn about economics, you can learn about sound money, you can learn about foreign policy, you can learn about the Constitution, civil liberties, educational freedom, and then there's a place for a reading list for further understanding and further reading. It's just a phenomenal resource for anybody who is interested in liberty to be able to access these things. Many of them are free. There are some audios and there are some videos. There's some books to read. There's articles to read. All of these things are available to us. And they're available for free from other freedom-loving people who have put them on the site. And so first thing you can do is to start educating yourself regarding the issues about freedom. And my recommendation for you is to go to campaignforliberty.com and begin downloading as much as you can from that and learning it. So number two is, get a firearm and learn how to use it. Now, I know that there are some of you who probably listen to this and you already have a whole stockpile full of firearms. Others of you maybe have wanted to do that in times past, but just have not yet got to the point where you're able to do that. And I want to encourage you to get your firearm and to learn how to use it. Now, there's two aspects to this. Obviously, there's acquiring a firearm and then there's getting how to use it. And they go hand in hand. Of course, I'm going to mention now just a couple of ideas as to what I think is considered the first or second choices of guns. And anytime you do this, you're going to have somebody else who has something different who says, no, I wouldn't do it that way. I'd do something else. The bottom line is get a firearm and learn how to use it. Somebody who is able to use a .22 very, very well is more effective than somebody who's only shot a .45 a couple of times. And so it's important for you to be able to use the firearm that you have, use it to its maximum capacity, and that enables you to make the most of what you are able to have and to do great things with it. So get a firearm and learn how to use it. I would say the very best choice all-around firearm that you could get. Now, again, this is intended mostly for those who do not have a firearm yet and considering what kind to get. I would say to get a shotgun, and most particularly a 12-gauge shotgun. It's very versatile. The ammunition is very easy to come by. The ammunition, you have a variety of things with the 12-gauge shotgun. You can hunt deer, you can hunt turkey, you can hunt dove or quail, or you can shoot skeet. You can practice that. You can also defend your home very, very well with four-shot or double-aught buck or whatever you want to put in there. It enables you to be able to defend your home very, very well. And it is probably the very first purchase that anyone should consider when it comes to firearm purchase, and that is a shotgun because of its versatility. And, I would actually recommend getting a pump shotgun. Now, there are semi-autos out there you can get, and my son actually has not a 12-gauge, but he has a bolt-action 20 gauge, but I think that a simple lever action or a pump or something like that, because of the mechanization or the mechanism on it is very simple. There's very little chance for problems, and there's just something if you're trying to defend your home against a two-legged predator. There's just something about hearing the cocking and the slide on a pump shotgun that should just reverberate chills in your back. And so that's probably the best thing to do when it comes to a firearm purchase, if you don't have a shotgun, to get a shotgun and learn how to use it. Secondly, if you're looking for a second choice, if you've already got your shotgun, my recommendation, now this may sound strange, but my recommendation would be a .22 pistol after that. And the reason for that is it's something that you can carry with you. It's something that is very versatile. You can use it on the farm. You can use it in other places. It can also defend your home, although you don't want to use a .22 pistol round as a very good defense weapon. Any kind of pistol is not a very good defense weapon. You're better off with, a rifle or a shotgun or a missile or, something like that if you're really trying to defend yourself. But at the very least, you want to get a 22 pistol and learn how to use it. Now, there are some articles, and I'll try to post one on the show notes, that indicates that a 22 round is not as bad as a lot of people think it is in terms of self-defense. In fact, it has resulted in more deaths than any other firearm round. It may be because that they're so plentiful. But the nice thing about a 22 long rifle is that the ammunition is dirt cheap, and so you can practice and practice and practice, which for most of us, that's more important than being able to have the biggest gun that's out there. And so first choice would be a shotgun, second choice would be 22 pistol. And then my recommendation is to find a good firearm safety course and take it. Now, there are a lot of different places that offer these things. You can actually get a good hunter safety course locally, and that will teach you a little about safety controls for firearms in general, and particular when it comes to hunting. But there are also other courses out there that you can take, and certainly you can actually take a concealed carry course. That would probably be the best and most ideal situation, is if you do not carry now and your state allows you to carry concealed, to go and take whatever course there's offered in the various shooting ranges, or you can go online and look for places where they're offering a concealed carry course, and that enables you to get the license necessary once you pay the fees and all to be able to carry concealed. Now, most places, a state law dictates these factors and determines how you are actually to carry that weapon, whether you can carry it openly or whether you can carry it concealed or whether you can carry it at all. And so it's important to be aware of that. And then finally, when it comes to this question of firearms and safety and learning how to use them and all, is I really want to recommend all of you to read the book Armed Response by David Kenick. And that's a fantastic book that just outlines from A to Z what to expect and how to prepare yourself for those things, so that if you ever to have to use a firearms in self-defense, you can be prepared for what the resolutions will be from that. So, number one, start learning from Campaign for Liberty Education. Number two, get a firearm and learn how to use it. Number three, plant some food-bearing seeds or plants. Plant some seed-bearing seeds or plants. In other words, start growing some food. Now, why is this something that advances liberty? Well, because there is no person, there is no country out there that has been without food, that has been able to resist the authority structures that are around them. In fact, one of the most effective ways of suppressing people is by keeping food from them so that they are hungry and that they will submit to your services when you or submit to your authority when you take away this food. And so growing your own food gives you a level of independence, a measure of liberty that cannot be found in other ways. And so, I recommend that you download the Grow Chart. And if you're a Legacy Partner, of course, you can do that. I have that on the Legacy Partner page. And if you're not a Legacy Partner, I would recommend going to the online there and downloading the Square Foot Gardening Guide or something like that, or just going online itself and learning about what vegetables to plant and what seeds to plant and what trees to plant, that kind of thing, and go out there and begin to plant some food-bearing plants so that you can develop some kind of more ability to provide for yourself with the most important ingredients, and that is food. So plant some food, bearing seeds or plants. Number four, and this relates to it in some ways, is find a local farmer and start buying from them. The more local that we keep our business, the more local that we keep the money that we have, and the more local that we are able to develop a community, the better we will be in the long run. And so if you don't have a current farmer in your vicinity that you know of that handles the animals appropriately and provides direct to the consumer, then I recommend that you find one. Go online and search for local farms. There's a place where you can do that. I'll try to put a show notes in there on Local Harvest and other places like that where it gives you an idea of what farmers are out there, what they're offering, and how to get a hold of them. And then, so find a farmer and start buying from them. Number five is donate your time or your money to liberty. advancing causes. So, you know, you can do this on a local level. We had a guy, in fact, I just saw him today, but we had a guy in our local community who got fed up with the way in which the county was being run and the way in which the taxes were being spent and how we were going further and further in debt, as is true with almost every county in the nation. And he decided to make some changes. So he volunteered a whole lot of his time and his resources by becoming and running for the supervisor, or one of the supervisors in our county or in our district. And so he volunteered or used a lot of his time to do that. And you could also obviously donate to a cause like Campaign for Liberty that gets that out, or donate a cause, donate some money in some other way to legitimate causes that advance freedom. You can do an international organization for the spreading of liberty. There are a lot that to go to third world countries or something like that. Sometimes missionary companies or missionary organizations send missionaries into these areas, and then through those missionaries distribute food and water and things like that. And so those are all liberty advancing causes. And of course, mission work also has the important element to it of sharing the gospel with those who are lost, and they can hear firsthand the most important means of exercise or experience in liberty, and that is through the liberty that is received through Christ, the truths that are revealed from him. And so number five is donate your time or money to a liberty-advancing cause. Number six is, if you are a Christian, share the gospel with someone. I just mentioned how important it is to be able to share the faith and to be able to spread the good news all across the globe and the resources that are required for that. And yet, here at home, we have people that are our neighbors. We have people that we come in contact with every day, people that know us by first name who we have not yet shared the gospel with. And who knows, they may be suffering the difficulties of being apart from Christ even now, but how much more so on the final day when they will be separated from God for all eternity because we did not give them the opportunity to receive the liberty that is found in Christ. And so that's one of the most important liberty advancing causes. Number seven then is go to 48 days, get the book No More Mondays, and start working on starting your own business. I've mentioned this before on Legacy Podcasts, and we are all about trying to equip people and train people, inspire people, educate people on how they can start their own business, because I believe starting your business and having a business of your own, it gives you a level of freedom and ability that you would not have otherwise. And so in the book No More Mondays by Dan Miller from the 48 Days business, he provides a step-by-step program where you can walk through it and learn what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, what kind of things you might be good at, and enables you to then chart a path within 48 days to go from zero to starting a business and being underway. And so I really encourage you to take the step of liberty to begin to start a business of your own that you can then pass on both the activity of working there, but also the skills that's involved in it to the next generation. Then number eight is pay off some debt. Now, I don't know how many of you that are listening are currently debt-free, and hopefully all of you are, but for those of you who are not, take Independence Day, take this time of year that when we are focused on getting free from bondage, take that time to free yourself financially from bondage and to get out of debt and to be able to use that as a means by which you can do what is right and no longer be a slave, no longer be a bondman to your debt. And, you know, the Bible says the borrower is slave to the lender. And so it's time we become free. And the way we do that financially is we pay off some debt. And then number nine is start saving some money. You cannot be totally financially free. You cannot be free at all unless you are free financially. And the only way you can be free financially is if you save some money so that you're not living paycheck to paycheck. When you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're so dependent upon that employer, you're so dependent upon all the resources to be able to be there all the time. Well, what happens when they're not? And so, and it's important that you save money, save in an emergency fund, in a money market account, or into you know, a savings account or something like that. And, you know, one of the best ways I have found, and I've advised people on how they can begin a savings account when they don't have one currently and they're wanting one, but it seems like there's nothing left at the end of the month to be able to put that away. I would recommend, first of all, paying it first. There's a principle in finance called pay yourself first. And the idea is that if you pay yourself a certain amount into your retirement, into savings, and you end up not missing that when you, when you go throughout the rest of the month. And so the idea of paying yourself first is a concept of building savings. But I also recommend another way, and that is buying silver coins. Now, the reason why this is important is because, well, twofold. One, of course, it's a commodity, and the price is going to be significantly greater over time than what the fiat dollar is because of the way in which the money is printed and the debt acceleration of that. But buying silver coins has another advantage, and that is that when you buy them, they're a lot harder to trade in for money. It's not quite as easy to just go down to the store and buy something with that. You have to first trade it and transact it, and then by doing, of course, that it gives you more time to think about what is going on. And so silver coins is a great way to start accumulating some savings. You can go down to a local coin dealer or something like that and order it. There's also other places online that you can look. Many of them have a minimum. But nonetheless, go just buy some silver coins and start saving them and building some kind of savings for yourself. And then number 10 is learn a self-sufficiency skill. It seems as though we have gotten to the point in our society now where we do service calls so significantly and we're a spreading of knowledge. And yet some of the skills that have survived over the centuries, some of the skills that have kept us alive in hard times are quickly fading. And it's important that we restore that and enable ourselves to be able to learn and to grow in skills that we had not yet had previously. And that gives us, again, just like with so many other things, it gives us an advantage. And we want to be able to take advantage of that. So learn some self-sufficiency skills. What are some of those? Well, you can do food preservation, smoking, canning, dehydrating, those kinds of things. Carpentry skills. Well, what a great way to be able to build things and offer yourself out in that way with the skills that you learn from carpentry. Welding, animal husbandry, that is farming with animals, that kind of thing. Using solar energy, that's a skill within itself, although it's only now becoming more and more popular. But using solar, being able to access solar, set up solar panels, those kinds of things, those are skills that were not around before, and yet many of the principles of being able to use what is available to you have been passed on. And so it's important that this takes place as well. So learn a self-sufficient skill. Number 11, consider homeschooling your kids this next year. Now, we're in a summer break right now, and you may be in a summer break right now. And I really want to encourage you to homeschool this next year if you've got kids of your own. The reason you do that, of course, I've mentioned this in previous podcasts about the importance of being able to homeschool your kids, be with them 24 hours a day, or at least, you know, as much as you can. And that enables you to have a better influence over them. But it also gives you the opportunity to set the curriculum so that they're not learning a bunch of this garbage. You know, one of the things that school systems do is they prepare you to be drones. They prepare you to be sheeple. They prepare you to just fall in line and do what you're told and to, not try to critique what is taking place. And I believe that it's our responsibility to train children to be able to actually make those hard choices and to be able to analyze and to come up with discussion and decisions and conclusions and things like that. And the only way I know of that can be done effectively is through homeschooling. So I want to encourage you to do that. But there's also another reason why I want you to encourage you to do that. And that actually brings up the 12th one, and that is opt out. The more and more that we opt out of governmental systems, the more and more that we opt out of what is thrust upon us authoritatively, the better we're going to be as a society, the more free we're going to be as a society. And so it is important that we opt out. Whatever steps, even small steps, can make a difference over time, because it moves us and moves us, or moves our needle, moves us in the right direction so that we might be able to make something happen economically or religiously or politically, whatever it might be. By opting out, we're able to put some pressure on these things. I mean, can you imagine if nationwide there were people who were strong enough financially because they've saved this money and who are able to be self-sufficient in so many other ways, and they opted out of schools and they've opted, how much more freedom are they able to have to make other choices of things that they might be able to opt out of? You know, I heard one time one of my mentors talk about, you know, why they homeschooled, and they realized, you know, that after a while, once they, when they got this and they got their farm going, they're trying to figure out what else they can opt out of, because they realize that the more that the government involves themselves in their lives, the less freedom that they have. And so opting out. You can opt out voluntarily through protest. You can opt out voluntarily through withholding any kind of consent or something like that. And so, you know, look for exemptions and take them. I think of, you know, there's so many different tax loopholes, so many different exemptions out there. And it's important that we take as much as we can of the opportunity for those exemptions so that we can then be freer than what we were before. And so there you go. Those are the 12 things that you can do to advance liberty for yourself and for your family this year. And what I want to close with is just take a couple of these, one of them maybe start with, and then add on some of the other ones later. And you may have some other activities that you want to maybe voice to me. Email those to me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com. Maybe we'll do another show like this. But these are some activities that you can do, and hopefully some of them have already been started, but others of them need to be continued. And so start learning from the Campaign for Liberty about liberty-minded issues. Get a firearm, learn how to use it. Plant some food, bearing seeds or plants. Find a local farmer and start buying from them. Donate your time or your money to liberty-advancing causes. If you are a Christian, share the gospel with someone. Number 7, go to the 48 days, get the book No More Mondays, and start reading ways in which you can start your own business. Start preparing for that. Number 8, pay off some debt. Number 9, start saving some money. And number 10, learn a self-sufficiency skill. Number 11, consider homeschooling your kids. And number 12, opt out. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?